Joining us on the line is, to me, Rider legend, one of the greatest players to ever put on a green and white jersey, Mr. Darian Durant. Mr. Durant, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
So, first question here first. Obviously, you announced your retirement on Friday. Take us through what your process of deciding to retire was. Like, how did that all come about?
Well, back when I signed in January, I was 100% committed. You know, there was no doubt in my mind I still wanted to play. Just had my firstborn daughter at the time. So, you know, I was just ready to play ball. So just as time went on, I went down to Atlanta to train, and it was really my first amount of significant time away from my family. So, well, during that time, just was missing my family. Found out as well that my wife wouldn't be able to make it down to Winnipeg as much during the season, so I was going to be away from my family a lot more than I, you know, previously thought I would. So, you know, and so just taking that into consideration, my body wasn't really responding the way I wanted it to during training. So, you know, I just felt like it was time to put family first and take care of my body and make sure I was able to, you know, be there for my kids growing up. And, you know, that became my number one priority. So I just went ahead and made the decision.
Now, there's something that we kind of want to put to bed here. We've heard a lot of chirps from the province to the east. And one of the biggest ones, and we find it kind of funny, is that this whole signing bonus and everything associated with it was a conspiracy started with your time in Saskatchewan, and this was all planned out. Can you tell us what kind of, like, you've seen some of these crazy thoughts that people have put forward, Can you just tell us your thoughts on the idea of a conspiracy theory about this?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I've always treated the game with respect, you know, treated everyone with respect, I feel. Even when I felt like I was done wrong at times, I've always, you know, felt like I've been a professional, you know, guy. And I would never just sign on to a situation knowing that, you know, I'm done. Like I said, back in January, my 100% intention was to play football. And, you know, things change over time. Over time, you find that your priorities change. And, you know, that's exactly what happened for me. So to hear that it was premeditated and all that, that's just totally bogus. You know, of course, you know, the fans in the province to the east, I think they complain a lot anyway. So they were just trying to find something wrong with the situation.
No, obviously they're upset because you got that $70,000 signing bonus. Now, yeah. So you said that you deserve the signing bonus. And I absolutely agree because it's a signing bonus. It's not a playing bonus. It's not a roster bonus. It's to sign your name on the contract, correct?
Yep.
So
I agree. And not only that, I just think that, you know, what people don't realize is that even during the offseason, we're still going 100 miles per hour every day, training our bodies, getting right, getting ready for the season. We risk injury every single day. I think I saw today where Winnipeg released a receiver that broke his foot during training. I mean, while he was training this offseason. And, I mean, we still deserve to get paid for the work we put in during the offseason. And, you know, signing bonuses are a part of that. So not only do you get paid to sign, you get paid to work out. You get paid to get yourself prepared for the season. I did all of that. So I felt like, you know, I did what I needed to do to deserve that.
Now, actually, throughout the years, you also took a lot of pay cuts and deferred money to the future to help the team around you, especially in the salary cap world. Was this also, in a sense, a way to kind of recoup some of those lost wages?
I mean, I guess you can say that in hindsight, you know, but that wasn't, you know, a priority going into the situation. I mean, of course, you know, this is definitely a performance-based business, and if you don't perform up to par, then, you know, sometimes your salary gets a hit taken along with it. But no way whatsoever was it just to recoup, you know, what I've lost in the past. It just so happened that, you know, I received a signing bonus. I decided to retire, and I guess you can incorporate those things with one another, but it wasn't in the plans whatsoever.
Now, I think we've spent long enough talking about your short time in Winnipeg. we really want to take a look at your time here in Saskatchewan. One of our listeners, actually several of them, have asked a very similar question. Other than winning the Grey Cup in 2013, what do you feel was your best moment in green and white? Or was it the Grey Cup as well?
You know, I would have to say that BC game, that home, the semifinal game leading up to the Grey Cup. I think that, you know, with us being down early that game and, you know, me kind of taking it upon myself to not force the ball downfield, use my legs, make things happen that way, and just kind of taking that game over in the fourth quarter, that was a huge game for me. So that would be I guess I could say a number two when it comes to most memorable moments.
And we had a question from somebody here as well, and it also kind of relates to being at Taylor Field, playing in that last game there. Was there anything from that stadium that you made sure that you took with you, or is there something that you would want to have from that stadium?
Well, I think, the most important person to me in my life is my daughter. Her middle name is Taylor. Her name is Amaya Taylor. So I have nothing physically, but, you know, having my daughter with me at all times, that means that that stadium will be with me for the rest of my life and for her life as well. So, you know, that was always a special place for me. It was home for me for 11 years. So, you know, like I said, nothing physically, but Taylor will always stay with me.
So that 2016 season, obviously a tough season here in Saskatchewan, but that final game, Taylor Field, mm-hmm. Is there something that you're like, do you take a lot of pride in knowing that you were the quarterback in that final game against BC? Obviously, it didn't turn out the way that we all would have hoped. But was that something that you can say, you know what, I take pride in, and that was, I was the guy that helped close that stadium?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, you're talking about over 100 years of history in one stadium, and to be able to close it down, so many memorable moments that have happened in that place. So it definitely means a lot. I was even in town when it got torn down, so it was just a special place, and it'll always hold a special place in my heart.
Now, you played a lot of years with the same guys like Weston Dressler, Rob Bagg. How important was it for you to play a lot of those years with guys who end up becoming really good friends?
It's I think that a lot of people underestimate the friendships and the close bonds that you make with your teammates. And, you know, being able to play with the same group of guys for so long, it's a great feeling. I mean, like you said, not only were they great teammates, but, you know, you take lifelong friendships along with it. So, and I think that's the key to winning, chemistry, continuity, making sure that you can have a system in place and coaches and players in place that you can build chemistry with. That's what creates success. And, having that same group of guys together, that's why we had the type of success that we did.
Now, we had a couple of questions regarding your future here. I know you mentioned that you had plans to start up a foundation here in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, first of all, tell us a little bit about that. And then do you see yourself getting into the coaching aspect of football kind of now that your career as a player is done?
First and foremost, I don't want to make any announcements about the foundation. It's, you know, in the final stages of, everything. So I just want to hold tight on that. I will make a formal announcement about the foundation later on. So, Saskatchewan is just a special place, and I don't know if I'll coach, but I definitely want to be involved with football one day, hopefully in Saskatchewan. But if not, I think football has a special place in my heart, and it's definitely something I want to do going forward. I just don't know if it'll be coaching, but right now it's just all about the fam, being with my family each and every day, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Now, this might be one of the questions that you might want to brush off here, but I did get a couple people say this that they wouldn't mind hearing. I know it's easy to say maybe in hindsight, but do you regret not accepting the Riders 2017 offer?
Honestly, I've thought about that a couple times, you know, but it's in hindsight, of course. You know, when you look back and you see how your career ended, you go to a new team, a new locker room, and you don't have a lot of success. You don't know the guys around you that well. So in looking back in that aspect, of course you say, man, I wish I would have just taken the pay cut and stayed. But at the same time, you know, if another job or another team wants to, take care of you financially, and it's a significant upgrade from what you were offered, then you have to take care of your family at the same time. So in hindsight, I would have loved to stay in Saskatchewan, but at the same time, I had to make a business decision for myself and, you know, my newborn.
Now, obviously, 2017, a very tough year for you in Montreal. Two-part question here. One, that very first game against the Riders, that season opener, obviously, going into the game, it was Durant versus the Riders, and that was the only storyline. And a football game is never one player versus a team. It's a team versus a team. But how important was it to, especially to beat them in that first game? But we'll just kind of go with that. How important was it to you to beat the Riders in that first game?
I think whenever when you have a coach or a GM tell you that you're over the hill and, he doesn't think that you can, be the guy to lead their team, you feel like you have something to prove. So it was the only thing that mattered to me that game was to win. It didn't matter how we got it done. I just wanted to win just to prove to the organization that I could still play and that they made a mistake by letting me go. So it was big, and it was a great feeling at the time for sure.
Now, one of our listeners did ask, what was your favorite thing outside of the fans and the team, but what was your favorite thing about Regina, Saskatchewan, or Canada as a whole?
Man, just tranquility, really, just the quietness of Saskatchewan. Just, you can just be yourself. You don't have to worry about, the traffic of big cities. You know, you can go anywhere at any given time of the day. I'm a country boy from South Carolina, so I like the small city vibe. Saskatchewan gave me that. I felt right at home. And, that's one of the main things I loved about it.
Now, being in the CFL, you were here for 12 years or so. Where was your favorite place outside of Saskatchewan to play?
I would say Winnipeg. Honestly, they have great fans there, to be honest. It was always a hectic environment, very loud for sure. And being in Saskatchewan for so long, that was pretty much the only stadium where you could kind of get a vibe that, resembled anything close to what it's like for visitors at Taylor Field. So Winnipeg was definitely an energetic environment. The fans were always loud and cheered the team on, so I always have fun in that building.
Now, you mentioned the fans in Winnipeg, and we've seen you going back and forth with some over the last couple of days. And we saw it in 2013 when, I can't remember the gentleman's name, who I use the term gentleman lightly, who kind of got on you for not running the ball way back when.
Yeah.
What's it like post-career when you don't have to worry about the CFL social media policy, you don't have to worry about the teams coming and slapping your hands for saying the wrong things, kind of having those Twitter shackles off and being able to say, speak your mind completely?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good feeling, honestly. I mean, for so long, I would say for 10 years, you just sit back and you take everything that people dish out. And I think a lot of people don't realize that we're human as well, that we have emotions as well. And like you said, when you're a player, you don't want to put yourself in a bad situation. You don't want to get fined. You don't want to, get slapped by the league for any you know, reason at all. So just to be able to vent and just let go some built up frustration for 10 plus years. I mean, of course, some things that came out, they were out of character for sure. But at the same time, you know, I don't regret anything because, you know, people get to say whatever they want to athletes, and we're supposed to just take the high road all the time and not say anything and not be able to defend ourselves. And, you know, I felt like that was a perfect opportunity for one to just defend myself, you know, from the fact that they said that I didn't let them know that I was retiring. I thought that was bogus. So I just wanted to defend myself in that aspect, and two, just, you know, defend myself and let them know that this wasn't premeditated. I mean, my intentions were to play. Things didn't work out, and that's how the game goes sometimes. So I had to let the fans know that guys in my position, we get cut all the time before bonuses. You know, we get cut. You see so many guys come to camp and get cut with contracts that they sign with teams, and they get nothing out of it. So, you know, if the roles are reversed, we're all human. And, you know, if the roles are reversed, you have to do what's best for your family.
Now, that actually leads into my next question here as well, and it does have to do with Twitter and just being a professional athlete and your brother obviously being an NFL player as well. How hard is it as an athlete to have a social media, and just what kind of crap do you guys actually like put up with all your notifications? Do you ever have to, like, do you turn your notifications off too, or do you actually like sit there and read that stuff sometimes?
I don't read them all, but I don't turn my notifications off, no. Yeah, I don't mind going through some of them because sometimes you get messages from important people and people that really mean a lot to you, so you don't want to miss those. But it's tough. I mean, I think fans and people on the outside, they look at us a little bit differently than they will look at the normal person. And, you know, it could get ruthless as well, from racial comments to, you know, comments about your family, your mother, your wife, your kids. I mean, you name it. Of course, there's, you know, trolls and they're professionals at trying to get under players' skins. But, you know, it's not easy, especially if, you know, you're sensitive to certain subjects in your life. It's not easy to sit there and let people, you know, just say what they want to you. So sometimes, I mean, not just myself, but you see athletes lashing out sometimes. And it's just because, you know, you get tired of just taking and not being able to say anything. And then when you reach your limit, you just let loose. And, you know, it just happens sometimes.
Hey, you know what? We can't blame you for that. Some of the stuff that you guys put up with, I don't know how you guys do it, but kudos to I guess, blocking it out and yeah, biting the tongue. So that's a lot more restraint than I would have.
Yeah, man, it's not easy.
I do have one more question here from a fan before we just kind of wrap things up here. There was a game against Calgary. You were running out of bounds. This was when you were at the Riders, and you saw Dwight Anderson running up on the sidelines trying to take you out, push you out of bounds. You decided to stay in bounds, and you lowered the shoulder and just lit him up. he asks, was this a retaliatory hit for Dwight's abuse on Weston Dressler? And did you have words with Dwight at the time or any time afterwards regarding that hit?
It was all for my boy Weston, man. You know, we've had some epic battles with Calgary over the days. And, you know, even in the newspapers, those guys were kind of, you know, saying some disrespectful things about us and, you know, our receivers, and saying how we didn't have a lot of talent. And, you know, even on the field, you know, they were twisting Weston's ankle under piles or, you know, just playing dirty. So, you know, I'm a guy, even though I play quarterback, I have my guys back at all time. And, you know, I saw that as an opportunity to, you know, take out a little bit of frustration on a guy that has been, you know, messing with my number one target. So I looked at it as an opportunity to put my head down and get physical with him and, you know, make a statement. And I took advantage of it, and I'm glad I did that, because after that, you know, he stopped all that mess. And eventually we became great teammates and great friends. So it's crazy how that works out in the world of football. But at the time, I didn't like him at all, and I wanted to make him pay for everything that he's done to my receivers.
Now, one question we did ask, and it's probably the most important question we got all day, is Oreo cheesecake still your go-to for Blizzard?
It is. It is, for sure. And I know I got that from my my good friends up there at DQ right across from the stadium. So I'm looking forward to getting back in town and stopping by there and saying hello. That was always my go-to spot once a week.
And last one for you here, Darian. When are you coming back to Saskatchewan?
I'm getting some things ironed out now. There are a couple speaking opportunities that I have that have come about since I announced my retirement. So I'm looking into that, planning it out. But I definitely am going to make an appearance for Labor Day. I have that marked down on my calendar for sure. So if the speaking engagements don't work out, Labor Day will... I will be there for sure, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I look forward to that as well. There's going to be a few thousand Bomber fans there that are, they'll probably have some choice words for you, but that'll be par for the course, right?
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend.
Well, thank you so much for your time tonight and also for absolutely everything you've done for the Riders franchise, for the CFL. And honestly, I can tell you right now, I'm sitting here wearing a Darian Durant jersey. And,
thank you.
Everything you've done, you're one of four quarterbacks that won a Grey Cup here in Saskatchewan. And right now I put out an article that I posted today that you're in my Mount Rushmore of Rider players. So thank you for everything you've done for this franchise and for this league.
Oh man. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you for your tremendous support over the years. And I really appreciate it. And if I am in town, I'll make sure to, get up with you and we can get something done for sure.
I look forward to that. Thank you so much, Mr. Durant.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.